This is continuing the series on the Ten Commandments. This is the fifth commandment, which is to honor your parents. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Now, if you recall, as I've said each week, the Ten Commandments represent an ancient covenant treaty of grace between the conquering king and his liberated subjects. The king, according to the ancient world, the king delivered the people, and consequently they become his people and abide by his laws and his ways. And the Ten Commandments represent this type of treaty, but in this case it's between God and man, and God and Israel. God, as the delivering king, delivers Israel from slavery. Consequently, Israel becomes God's people and then assumes the responsibility to keep God's commands. Now, if you'll note verse 12 here, which is where we're going to focus today, of Exodus 20, it says to honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. And if you also turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5, Deuteronomy 5, where the Ten Commandments are also recited, Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, it says to honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. Now, as Paul noted, as the Apostle Paul notes in the New Covenant, this commandment is the first commandment that where a promise is attached to it. And in Deuteronomy, there are two promises. In other words, instead of it just saying, this is what you shall do and this is what you shouldn't do, in this case, it says, this is what you should do, and there's promises attached to the commandment. And Paul notes that in the New Covenant. Now, it says, there's two promises that are attached in Deuteronomy 5. The two promises are this. If you honor your father and mother, number one, you will live long. Who wants to live long? Amen. Who wants to end their life now? If anybody raise their hand, come up here immediately for deliverance. Amen. I'm serious, though. I mean, not now, but after the talk. And we will pray for you. And number two, it will go well with you in the land. So in other words, the promise is if you obey this command, you're going to live long. And number two, it's going to go well with you in the land. In other words, you're going to prosper. But why? In other words, why are there specific promises attached to this commandment and not to the other commandments? It's interesting. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. As we begin to look at this question. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Now note, in this passage, the Lord is promising the very same things that He promised if the people would honor their father and mother. He's saying, I will give you long life, and you will prosper in the land that you have if you do what? If you obey all the commandments of God. In other words, in this passage, He's saying if you obey all the commands, you're going to get these promises. But in the Ten Commandments, it's just simply honoring your parents, in which you will also receive those very same promises. So that's kind of interesting. And the question is why is it the same with honoring your parents as it is with keeping all the commandments? Well, first of all, let's look at Deuteronomy 28 and see what happens when we obey the commandments of God and what happens when we disobey the commandments of God. Okay? Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. And then it goes on. Then verse 15. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all His commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. And then it gets very specific thereafter as to what those curses really are. And when I teach Jewish history, which I do in the YWAM school, Jewish ministry, we get into this whole question of the nation of Israel and how, because they have failed to obey the laws of God, they came under judgment, and it's a very tragic thing. But rather than this being a tragedy, these promises are what I call a recipe. It's God's recipe for success. It's amazing in this day and age, there are thousands of books that promise success in business, success in the family, success in finding a mate, success in sports, success in school, success in sex, everything. But God has a recipe for success in all these areas as well. And it's a lot less reading. It's amazing. And it's very inexpensive. In fact, it's completely free. And if you don't have a Bible and need one, we'll give you one for free, whatever language you need it in, whether it's Russian or English or Hebrew. And if you need another language, we'll find that also, I guess. But it's amazing. It doesn't cost anything. And because God's recipe for success, He has a recipe for success in business, for family, for school, for dating, and yes, even sex. He has a plan for sex and for success in both marriage and how to avoid it before marriage and the disaster, what happens when you don't. It's called obeying His commands. That's the recipe for God's success in this world. But this still doesn't answer the question of why does the command to honor your parents have the same promises attached to it that obeying the Lord in all of His commands. In other words, what makes honoring parents unique in the commandments of God? That's the real issue here, because there is something unique about these commandments. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them as on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses. This passage is known as the Shema. It's the watchword of the Jewish faith. But again, note the emphasis here in this passage. The emphasis is to impress these commandments on your children. Talk about them at home. Talk about them at work. Talk about them, put reminders about them everywhere you go. And why is that the case? So that the words of God are always around you, because it's God's recipe for success. That's why. You see? So we will know His will and His ways. And by obeying Him, we will bring prosperity into our lives. Do you know that God guarantees prosperity to those who obey Him? Now, I'm not talking about living lavishly on some hill with some huge mansion and driving four Rolls Royces down the street. I'm not talking about that kind of prosperity. I am talking about that God can provide for your needs abundantly according to his riches and glory in the Messiah, Yeshua. Now, that's definitely the case. He can meet every need you have, whatever it might be. That doesn't mean he's going to meet all your lusts, though, folks. Okay? However, what happens to people, though, when God's word is absent? What happens to those folks? They tend to forget God and they wander off the trail. But worse, what happens to the next generation when the words of God are not being spoken and promulgated and so forth? What happens to them? The next generation knows nothing of God. That's what happens. Consider this. Most of our grandparents, at least in the American group here, most of our grandparents, or at least our great-grandparents, were religious people. Our parents, though, most of them, knowing of religion, typically ignored it, though in most cases they were relatively moral because they had some knowledge of God's laws. But for my generation, the 60s and 70s, there was little, if any, instruction of God and his ways. And even if you attended a church or a synagogue, in the family, the things of God were rarely ever discussed. So what was the result? A generation that has created its own creeds based upon freedom from moral restraint. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, because there was no knowledge of God in our generation, then everybody created their own creeds, their own belief systems, their own ways, which is what the New Age is all about. And bottom line, in almost every creed and belief, it caused freedom from any kind of moral restraint. So what does that mean? Thus, we get uncontrolled sex, which results in unwanted pregnancies, single parents, abortion, rampant divorce, unbelievable sexual diseases such as AIDS and herpes and etc. That's what we get because there's been a belief system that has been built around something that does not control morals. There's no moral restraint. Everybody does their own thing, and so it just looses licentiousness and all kinds of bizarre things, and the result is disaster society-wide. We get uncontrolled violence. So killing, whether it's in the movies or in schools or on the street, it becomes the increasing norm as opposed to the aberration. When we read in the papers that somebody brings guns to school, that's the norm now, but that never happened 30 and 40 years ago. It never happened. It was a shock. And why is that the case? Because our generation has built a belief system that is not God-based. That's why. What's going on? Deuteronomy 6, verse 20. Deuteronomy 6, verse 20. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. Know what it says in verse 20. It says, when your son asks the meaning of the laws of God, it's up to the present generation to pass on the ways of God to the next generation. If a current generation fails to pass on the ways of God to the next generation, what happens? They do not know the ways of God. And so thus, you see, it's up to the next generation to follow the ways of God that have been promulgated by the current generation. When either breaks down, when either the current generation fails to pass it on, or the next generation fails to honor those commandments, society begins to crumble. That's what happens. And I say to the parents here today that the greatest thing you can do for your children is to pass on to them the ways of God and insist that they honor you. For the children that are here today, your most important task is to honor your parents. If you fail to honor them, no matter what else you do, it will not go well with you. You see, the reason that the promises of God are attached to honoring your parents, just like in all the commandments of God, is because if you don't honor your parents, then all the ways of God will not be made known to you, and certainly will not be made known to your children, and then no one knows anything of God. It's cut off. In fact, you can ask some of our Russian brethren here what it's like to live in a society where there is no knowledge of God, because they were prevented from doing so. But you know what the tragedy is of American society? Is that we have always had the freedom to believe in God and to pass it on to the next generation, and yet we're failing to do so, where the Russian people, who have not been permitted to know the Lord, are hungering after God's ways, are asking believers and others to bring the ways of God into their schools so that their children might know of this God that loves them and cares for them. What a twist, what an irony, and what a tragedy for America. Because God will exalt the Russian nations, and He will destroy the American one if they do not turn around. Parents are the parties responsible for passing on God's ways. If you fail to do it, you may well lose your children. Parents are so often consumed with other tasks, providing economically for their kids, socially with all the activities that are involved, trying to get ahead, or pushing their children to excel, that they neglect God's ways. A tragic mistake. If you as a parent fail to assume this priority, don't expect your children to honor you. If you fail to assume the priority of passing on the ways of God to your children, then don't expect them to honor you. Now, it's no excuse for the children not to honor you. Children are always to honor their parents. But folks, there's going to be a problem. And what I want to talk now, I'm going to do a twofold part of this talk here today. The first part is I'm going to talk about creating honor in children by parents. And secondly, I'm going to talk about children to honor their parents, because it's a two-way street. Creating honor in your children. Honor is another word for respect. It is typically associated with one in authority. And there are many authorities that we deal with. There's the authority of God and His Word. There's governmental authority. There's the authority of an employer. There's congregational authority. And there's of the authority of their leaders. And if you want children to honor you as a parent, you must show by example honor to those who are in authority. You hear what I'm saying? The first, of course, is that they must see your obedience to God. How can they tell? How can they tell if a parent is obeying God or not? Because children, you know, they're not into all these wild things and everything else. Number one is your attendance at services, your attendance at a home group. Children know that you're expected to be here, that the way to serve God is to attend, and so that's part of it. If they see that, then they'll follow it. Personal quiet times. If they see you setting aside time to seek the Lord, then they know that God is a priority in your life. And to discuss the things of God as a family, family devotions, and so on. And so, if they see you putting God first in practical ways, then they know that since He's the greatest authority, that they can therefore honor you because you're honoring those in authority, that the Lord Himself in this case. But also, they must see honor in you towards others who are in authority. And that sometimes is more difficult. Honor breeds honor. Rebellion breeds rebellion. Okay? It's definitely the case. It's definitely the case. You must honor governmental authorities such as the President of the United States. Oh, he's a whoremonger. I mean, this guy is trash. Is that what the Scripture says that we're supposed to do with those who are in authority over us? Do you realize that when we speak negatively of a governmental leader in this country, that we are dishonoring God, and you are causing rebellion in your children? Now, I'm not saying that we agree with everything the president does or anybody in governmental authority, but that still does not give us a right to show disrespect and dishonor to those who are in authority. And if you do, you're going to breed rebellion in your children, folks. Because that person has been designated by God, whether we believe it or not, to be an authority. The Scripture admonition for treatment of government leaders is the following: obedience, prayer, and honor. That's the admonition in Scripture towards government. If you don't show respect to those in authority, don't expect those subject to you to show respect to you. The same with your employers. showing honor to your employers and respect. You might say, but you don't know what a slime bag that he is. I mean, what a slime bag this guy is. Man, how can I ever show respect to him? Maybe he is, but he's in authority. You see? And you are required to show honor and respect to that individual. Again, it doesn't mean that we're always to agree. It simply means to show respect and to show honor. The same with leaders of a congregation. You know, you dishonor a leader, even an unjust one, and you bring dishonor on yourself. Even Paul, the great apostle, had to apologize to the high priest when he called him a bad name because the high priest had ordered him to be smacked in the face unjustly. Now, Paul had the authority of God. He was the great apostle. He was the one who was anointed by God to go on with it. The high priest had missed it by rejecting Yeshua as the Messiah. But because this man was in authority, Paul was required to show him respect and honor. And he said that, and he apologized. Remember, honor breeds honor, rebellion breeds rebellion. That's what happens. That's the first thing, creating honor in your children. Number two, children must be taught at a very early age to obey and honor their parents. Parents must present clear guidelines for them to obey and not make them overly burdensome. The more you load up children with a bunch of don'ts, the more quenched and bound they become, and ultimately will rebel. The rules that you impose on your children should seek to achieve one of two things, or a combination of the two. Number one, obedience to God and His commandments. So therefore, children don't lie. Children don't steal. They don't fight. Okay, things like that, which are direct commandments from God, which they need to be taught to do, and if they don't do it, they are to be disciplined. And the second area of rules that children are given to obey is to build responsibility in their lives so that as they get older, they learn to assume that kind of responsibility. So therefore, young children, it's things like learning how to brush their teeth on their own, cleaning their rooms, picking up after themselves. And then as they get older, they assume in the teenage years to assume more and greater responsibilities. And they're given that. It's to build responsibility. But again, it's not supposed to load them up with a ton of things. When you create rules for your children, you've got to be consistent and they must be enforced. Changing rules, in other words, you say, this is the rule, and so this is what I want you to do, and then you change it all the time, it creates confusion and insecurity in their lives. And it creates a disaster. You've got to be consistent. You've got to stick up for something and consistently do it unless there's going to be a discussed change and then you explain to the child why the change has taken place. And the lack of enforcement of discipline, the lack of enforcement of rules, creates manipulation. And so what kinds of discipline are we talking about, or enforcement that we're talking about? In other words, if you have a rule to your child that they're supposed to do such and such, whether it's to clean up their rooms and so on and so forth, and they continue to disobey, then you need to enforce the rule. See, what so often happens in dealing with children is the child would do something, you say, if you do it one more time, I'm going to give you a little patch on the tuchus, or whatever it is, you know, or you're going to be grounded. And then they do it again. If you do it one more time, and then they keep bugging you, and then you just ignore them and you walk away, and then it goes back and forth. And you know what happens? They learn how to manipulate you, and they lose any honor and respect that you have. If you say you're going to give them a little patch on the tuchus, then if they do it wrong, then you give them a little smacko, okay? I'm not talking about a beating, but just a little like that, okay? And it's amazing how if children learn to honor and respect you, a little patch where it counts, without even hurting them, they'll wail, okay? Because it's not the pain that's causing them, the physical pain that's causing them to cry. In fact, you don't want that. What's causing them to cry is the humiliation of disobeying and being caught. That's the key. Same thing with grounding. Or being sent to their room. It's all the same. But folks, if you say that a certain consequence will happen if they fail to obey you, then you must enforce it. Because if you don't enforce it, they're never going to learn to honor and respect you. And they're going to grow up to be a rebellious child. Okay, guaranteed. It's very important. Never allow children to talk back or to ignore you. Never allow it. Don't take anything. It shows gross dishonor and disrespect when a child says to their parents, they say, you know, they just obnoxious. In fact, it was incredible what I saw in the airport. I mean, I thank God for my children when I was away. I did. I was in the airport yesterday, and you know, waiting. This airline, man, I will never take this airline again, Earl. I've already told you on the phone. Mark Air. Who's heard of Mark Air? Anybody? I mean, you know, it's amazing. 4 stops from California. I mean, I think I toured the whole country yesterday. I had no idea. San Diego to Las Vegas. Played a few games. No, I never got out of the plane. I'm kidding. Las Vegas to Denver. Denver to Cincinnati. Cincinnati to Washington. And then I had to be picked up in Washington and driven to Richmond. I mean, it was beyond belief. But anyway, that's not the point. I'm in the airport, and I remember, and these kids are like, they're just like out of the control. And this one girl, I mean, I almost said something. This girl is with her grandmother, and their Mark Air does not have assigned seating. So it's kind of like you charge the door. I mean, that's another negative about this thing. I mean, you literally charge the door. And so, but they were letting the people with kids go on first, you know, younger ones, so they don't get trampled and so forth. So this kid, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old, max, she says to her grandmother, "Grandmother, come on, don't you see it's time to go? Come on, grandmother, come on! Don't you see why you're being so slow?" And I mean, it was the grossest disrespect that I've seen in a long time. I mean, I almost said to the girl, "Girl, shut up, you know, I mean, show your grandmother some respect here. This is just like out of control." And I saw it again and again and again. I saw some other teenagers, they were completely going out of control, and you know, I was afraid of saying anything because I was going to get decked. And fortunately, a plainclothes police officer, I don't know, he might have been a federal agent, stood up, turned around, held out his badge to them and said, "Sit down." They sat down. You know, thank God. But I mean, they were literally out of control. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it was gross. They were cursing, you know, screaming curses. I mean, it was demonic. It was horribly demonic. But anyway, the point of that is, don't allow children to show you dishonor at any level. However, you must allow children to make appeals, okay? To make appeals. Parents are not always right. Children must feel secure enough to suggest alternative approaches or explain why they want to do or not want to do something that you have asked them to do. But the appeals are not endless, okay? It's not like going into the court system and you 5 years later an answer comes down, okay? In other words, you listen to the appeal, you weigh the appeal, and you decide. And that's the end of it, okay? And there's no more appeals after that. That's the final one. Now the question is, but what if you've lost respect? In other words, what if you've already lost the respect of your children? And now what do you do to regain it? This is going to depend a lot on what age they are. Okay, first of all, the answer is you're going to have to pray. You're really going to have to pray and seek the Lord what to do with them, because you are still responsible unto God to pass on His ways to those children. Whether they listen to you or not, you are still responsible. And God can and will show you what to do if you seek Him, folks. God loves for people to seek Him out, and He will give you very specific answers. If a parent will confess their failures to the child. Because you need to try to put yourself in their shoes, and how would you feel if what happened to them had happened to you? Okay? Because a lot of times we're looking at it as someone separate from what they've gone through, but you need to see that what they've gone through and relate to what they've experienced. But that doesn't mean that you grovel, okay, when you ask their forgiveness. Kids who've lost respect for their parents will manipulate their parents. If still in the home, you must begin to provide clear guidelines and punishments for failure, and then enforce it. Never excuse their sin or bad attitudes. It must be changed. And also, do not protect them from negative consequences unless their lives are at stake. And what I mean by that is, you want to protect your children from negative decisions, but not negative consequences. Because every decision brings a consequence, whether it's good or bad. What you sow, you're going to also reap. And so, when children need to learn that when they've made a bad decision, there's going to be a bad consequence, even if that means dealing with the law. Okay? Because as your children get older, if they're rebellious, and they've got problems, they may run into problems with the law. Some of your children may get into drugs. I want to confess it, or they may have. And the last thing you want to do is to get them off, folks. If they are guilty, they need to face the consequences of that guilt. And sometimes the best thing for a person is to really suffer at the hands of what they've done so they'll see what they've done. If you excuse it or cover for them, you're going to sowing more rebellion in their lives. Children, like adults, learn from their actions and their consequences. Now, what about the problem of parents dealing with double standards? In other words, the parents have two standards because there's two parents and they have different standards. What do you do then? I mean, you know, because you're trying to provide clear guidelines for your kids and now they're hearing different things from each parent or from other people. First of all, you need to reach agreement with your spouse over as many things as are possible and the consequences of disobedience. Talk it through with your spouse. If you have a different way of disciplining them or handling them, talk it through. Come to agreement as to how you're going to do it. Maybe you're going to have to give a little or they're going to have to give a little, but you've got to have a single standard because otherwise it's a disaster. And never challenge a spouse in front of the children. Never do it. If a spouse says such and such to the child, if you have something to say, if you don't agree with that, then you take the spouse later separately and you talk to them about it. You never say to the child in the front of it, oh, I don't agree with that. Or you're being too hard on them. Or you're being too soft on them. Don't ever do that. Because what's happening is it's creating a double standard for the children. The children will take advantage of it and they'll begin to manipulate the situation. Also, never, ever speak negatively of the spouse to your children. Ever. You never do it. You always say positive things. And if the spouse has been wrong in the way they've dealt with the child, then you need to go to your spouse and tell them they need to get it right with the child, but don't ever speak negatively. It's a big mistake because it creates dishonor. If problems arise, discuss it with the spouse later and make plans for change. And finally, in this area, if the spouse is for forfeiting their role in raising the children, then tell them, but don't undermine them, okay? Don't take over their role. Don't undermine them. Don't cut them out. Okay? Suggest to them ways that they can get more involved and so forth. Critical. Always encourage the spouse to get involved. Now, the other side of the equation, the children. Fortunately, most of the teens have left the room. This is what they really need to hear. I want somebody to go downstairs and get all the teens and get them up here. I'm serious. Go upstairs, tell all the teens I want them in the room. Because this is about the children. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray while we're waiting. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask, Father, that you would allow your word to penetrate every one of our hearts. Parents and children, Lord God, whether it doesn't matter how old the parents we are, whether we're 90 years old, we're still, for many of us, we're parents, Lord, or we're all children. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would let these words penetrate our hearts. Lord God, make us like you, Father. Help us to be right parents. Righteous parents, righteous children, to honor where honor is due. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Children, this is the word to you as far as honoring parents. It's very simple. Children are to obey and to honor their parents. It's as simple as that. But kids, parents are not perfect. They make mistakes, but they are God's authority over you. And children, I want you to be aware of this scripture. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21. This is how serious God takes honoring parents. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard. Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Now, I'm not advocating here killing off your problem children. But I want you to see how serious this issue is in the sight of God. Children, when you disobey your parents and you grow up into a disrespectful lifestyle, you come under the judgment of God. And in the old covenant era, in the nation of Israel, this would have been potentially your end result. It's very serious. Now, first of all, children, never talk back to your parents. If you feel you've been treated unjustly, then make an appeal in a respectful way. And if you lose, then you accept it. Even if it's an unjust decision. Because the Scripture says that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes. And even when decisions are made that affect our lives, that are wrong decisions, God will use those things to build character in our lives and to accomplish His will in our lives. Not everything that happens to us is always going to be good, but God can always turn what happens to us into good. And if we do it His way, He will transform the situation into His goodness. Never speak negatively of your parents. I want to brag on my daughter today, Amy. This is a family in our neighborhood, apparently, who we were fairly close with a little while ago, and she's a close friend of the daughter, has apparently been having some very serious problems, very serious marital problems. And my daughter Amy got together with her friend, and we're talking about the family problems. In fact, Amy related them to me, and we've been praying for them ever since. And the girl said, "You know, I can't stand to be with my parents. I mean, you know, it's just so difficult, and I don't like being with them, and there's so many problems and everything else." And so she turned to Amy and says, "Don't you feel the same way?" She said, "Oh, no, not at all. I really like being with my folks. I mean, I was really blessed. You know, that was like, yeah, you know, and that was really blessed." But you see, you should never speak negatively of your parents, kids, even if you don't like what they've done. Don't speak negatively. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have to go to somebody else, maybe another person who you can get advice from and say, "We're having problems in our family." That's okay. But never speak negatively of them. Never say that they're doing, you know, they're bad parents and I don't like them and so forth. It's a very serious negative confession. You're also, children, are to forgive your parents for unjust treatment. All children are treated unjustly at some point in time. There is no such thing as the perfect parent. It doesn't exist in this world. And so if you're not perfect, then the children are going to be treated unjustly. The parents are going to make wrong decisions. They're going to get angry when they shouldn't have gotten angry. Things are going to happen. But you have a responsibility as a child to forgive your parents. Okay? Because unforgiveness will destroy you. Forgiveness doesn't mean that what happened to you is not important. It's not like God says, "Oh yeah, it's okay that your mom or dad smacked you around, made a wrong decision, treated you unjustly, kicked you out of the house, did whatever they did, and that's hunky-dory, I don't care what happens to you, just obey your parents." That's not what God's saying. He's saying, "I do care for you. It does matter when you're treated unjustly. But you have treated my son unjustly. You put him on the cross, your sin. And because I forgave you of unjust treatment towards my son, therefore you must forgive your parents." That's why. You are releasing the hurt that you feel and the burden you feel to the Lord. You release it to God and allow Him to bring healing into your lives. Finally, with regard to children, can parents be disobeyed in God's sight? In other words, is there what you might call righteous disobedience? Yes, there is, but rarely. You always, if you have to disobey your parents, because in a rare situation, because of God's will, but it always has to be done with respect. If I didn't disobey my parents, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't believe in Yeshua. I wouldn't be leading a Jewish congregation, Messianic Jewish congregation, if I didn't disobey my parents, because my parents would not allow me to believe in Yeshua and would not, and said I could not reach other Jewish people for the Messiah. And so the Word makes it clear, when a parent is asking a child to do something that is clearly in violation of the commandments of God, then the child may disobey the parent, but always with respect. It doesn't mean that when the parent tells the child to go clean up their room, "Oh no, you know, God, I'm having my quiet time before the Lord, and you're going to have to wait, and I'm going to, God goes first, and I'm not going to clean up this thing until I put God first in my life." Better put God first in your life, clean up your room, and then have your quiet time. You see, because that's not a violation of God. Now, if your parents said you can never have a quiet time, you can never crack the Scriptures, you can never go to meetings serving the Lord, then disobedience is permitted, but always with respect. It's not like, you know, you never say, well, you're just unsaved. You're heathen, you know. You're going to hell, and I'm going to this thing for the Lord. No, that's not the idea. That's not respect. Okay, always with respect. And those are rare cases, very rare cases. I want to close with this. The honoring of parents is one of the keys to the kingdom. It really is. It's one of the keys to the kingdom. Its failure in this society is causing this society to break down. Let's be the ones to make a difference here. Let's not be the ones that point to other people and say, look at them, look at what they're doing. Let's be the ones that will show the example of honoring parents and creating honor in children for parents. Let's begin to honor parents now, even elderly ones, and to instill in our children the need to do so, to honor parents and grandparents and so on. It's absolutely critical for your salvation, for your children's salvation, and for where you're going on. But to do so, you need power. See, how can I do it? How can I honor parents after they've mistreated me all these ways? How can I create honor when I've blown it for so long and my kids are just, they're like wild and they're out of control? What can I do? Is it too late? No, it's not too late. There's power. You see, there's power in the blood. Yeshua came to overcome for us so that we might overcome for Him. You see, He overcame all sin so that when we relinquish our lives to Him and receive His power into our lives, we become overcomers. The Scripture says that I can do all things through the Messiah who strengthened me. If you feel like a failure, if you feel like you don't have what it takes, if you don't know what to do, if you feel like you just can't do it, then today is the day that you need to receive the power of God into your life through the person of Yeshua the Messiah, have Him forgive your sins, and to empower you to be the right person. And maybe you say, but I already know the Lord and I still feel out of it. Ask God for a special anointing. Ask God to root out whatever it is and to empower you. The Scripture says, again, I can do all things through the Messiah who strengthened you. He didn't say, I can do some of the things or occasionally or whatever it is. I can do all things through the Messiah who strengthened me. The Scripture says that in Him we have all wisdom and knowledge. The Scripture says that we have the mind of the Messiah. God can give us answers. He can give us ways. He can give us methods. He has the power to change a life, to change a family, and to change a society. And the question is today, are you willing to align yourself with God and get yourself into right order with Him and your family? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, first and foremost, I pray for anybody in here, Lord, that doesn't know you yet. Lord, that hasn't made Yeshua their personal Messiah, that doesn't know the power of God, that hasn't had their sins forgiven and washed away by the blood of the Lamb who laid down His life for each and every one of us so that we might have a relationship with You and might experience Your power, Lord, and avoid the judgment of God. Lord, I pray for that person now. All you have to do is, in your heart, just say, Lord, I don't understand all this, but I know I need this. I need Your power, Lord. Father, I need what Yeshua has done. I don't fully understand it, but I know He came so that I can be free of all this, that I can be free from sin, that I can have a right relationship with You. And I thank You that Yeshua laid down His life for me, took upon Him my sins, and then rose again so that I might have a relationship with You. Lord, I give You my heart, Lord. I give You my life. I receive Yeshua into my life as my Savior, my Messiah, my Lord. Father, change me. Make me a new person. Help me to honor my parents and to create honor in my children, Lord. Thank You, Lord God. And I pray for everybody else in this room. Lord, whether we're parents or children or both, Lord, help us, Lord. Enable us, Lord. Empower us, God. Help us to get right with You. Help us to put into practice these principles, Lord, that will enable us to be good parents, good children, Lord God, or good both. And Lord, that we would really know what it is to honor the kingdom of God and Your authority, Lord. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.